Well, good morning. I am fired up. Bless the Lord. You know, when Jesus is lifted up in his church, when the Lord is exalted in the midst of his people, then he makes his power available to us. And so today, in this time that we have together, we want to exalt the Lord. We want to look to him. We want him to be the focal point of our attention right now. We want to gather it all in and we want to look to him, because I believe that God wants to speak to us today that he is more than enough. Can you say God is more than enough? The scripture says that God is able to do far exceeding, abundantly above, all that we can think or ask. God is willing and he's able. The Bible says that the word of God is alive, and it is pregnant with God's own life. It is pregnant with the love of God. It is pregnant with the grace and the mercy of God toward you and toward me. It is pregnant with our victories in Christ Jesus. It is pregnant with deliverance for any soul that needs to be delivered. In Sunday school this morning, we learned that whosoever will come to the Lord, he will save. He will deliver from the darkness that was in his soul before he received Jesus Christ. He will deliver you from all brokenness, no matter how long you were broken. You could have been broken in your mother's womb, and God will deliver you from that brokenness. I think about the time that Jabez cried out to God, because in sorrow and pain, his mother had such a time bringing him into the earth that she named him according to her sorrow. So all of his life, he was burdened with the anguish of his mother. And one day he cried out to the Lord and he said, please help me. Take this thing from me. Give me the life that you would have for me. And I promise you, if you will, in this place today, wherever you are, I don't care if you're in your living room, your bedroom, I don't care if you're in your car when you hear this, I don't care where you are, stop and pay attention to God today, because he wants to meet you where you are and then bring you beyond that place and show you himself. God wants us to see that he's the great and the mighty God. So church, let's exalt the Lord right now. Let's lift him up right now. He is high and he is lifted up, and his train does fill the temple. But in your mind, you need to know that. In your heart, you need to know that. Let us celebrate the Lord, because he is able this day to answer every need in your life. He is able to satisfy every longing in your heart. Say, God is more than enough.
God is more than enough.
Father God, I thank you right now that you are able to reach to the lowest place and bring us up from the most broken state and bring restoration from the most devastating position that we could ever be in life. You are able, Lord God, to bring new life. And so in this hour, in this moment, I pray, Lord God, that the person who feels the most down and out right now will hear that you are in touch with them. If you would have a can of Coke come floating by, a woman who has bigger problems than a can of Coke, Lord God, if you can cause it to come floating by while she's waiting to be rescued, you most certainly, Lord, are looking at somebody's heart today, and you are able to fill that need. Father God, I thank you right now that we can present nothing to you that is too hard, impossible for you to do. And so we bring it all to you today. As your church, Lord God, we exalt you as Almighty God right now. And we say, Lord, help us. And for those that are listening who are not yet the church, but who will bring their hearts to you, Father God. I pray that they will hear today, Lord God, that no matter what the deed in life, they can be saved. Lord God, I pray that we will hear from your word today what you're speaking to us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name is that name that is above every name. I want to have you walk with me through 2 Kings chapter 4. I see a thread of something that's happening in that chapter over and over again, though there are three different situations that are being presented to the prophet Elijah, who is the man of God and the voice of God at that time. Because at that time, we didn't have the Holy Ghost, and so we didn't come to God on our own. We had to come to the priest and we had to come to the prophet. And so as the chapter opens up, there's a widow woman, and she sends for the man of God. And she says to the man of God, I want you to walk through the whole chapter with me. If I don't read the whole chapter, I'm going to be making reference to the whole chapter, because there's something I want you to see. And I want you to keep in mind the whole time, God is more than enough. And I want you to keep in mind that he does abundantly above, far exceeding all that we can ask or think. Because God wants more for us that we can even begin to ask for. He wants more for us that we can imagine he can do. He wants more for us that we could ever believe in a lifetime that God would be able to do. So listen to this. So you got this woman who's a widow. Her husband is dead. Her creditors are coming and they're saying, if you don't pay us our money, then we're going to take your sons and we're going to make your sons slaves. And so she calls on the man of God and she says, listen, I don't have what I need to pay my husband's creditors, and they're going to take my sons from me. And see, in that day, the men were the providers for the women. And so she needed her son, because those guys were not only her children, they were not only the ones who would bring her lineage, continue her lineage, but they were also the ones to take care of her. And so she's saying, if they take my sons, what do I have? And so the prophet said, now, what do you want me to do? He said, what do you have in your house? So she said, well, you know, I got a pot of oil. So he says, okay, I want you to send to your neighbors. Go as far as you can to all of your neighbors. And what I want you to do is ask them to loan you a pot, loan you vessels, borrow not a few, but borrow as many as you can. Gathering as many vessels as you can. And then I want you and your sons to come in the house, and I want you to shut the door. And when you shut the door, I want you to take that pot of oil that you have, and I want you to begin to pour from it and to fill the vessels. And as she took the one pot of oil, every time her sons brought her a pot, it just filled up. And they brought her a pot, and they brought her a pot till there were no more pots. And so then she said, is there another pot? And they said, Mom, we've given you all the pots. And so she said, okay. So then she goes back to the man of God. She said, okay, I've done what you told me to do. Now what? He says, now I want you to take, and I want you to sell that oil, and I want you to pay your debtors, and I want you and your sons to live off of the rest. Now what she wanted was her bills paid. But God said, I'm not just going to pay your bills, but I'm going to give you a living from this point on. Now, I want you to hear this. He says, go and sell. I just said that. And then pay your debts. He said, and then live of the rest. Listen to this. He not only paid her debts, she and her sons present with her not only live, but that word literally there, your children, means anyone coming from you. And so the seed after the seed, after the seed, from the seed, after the seed. And so all of her descendants from that day forth lived off of that one pot of oil that she brought to God, who can take a little and make it more than enough. Can you say more than enough? Can you say he is able to do far exceeding, abundantly above all that I could ever think or ask? I feel like preaching right now. And so then we move on further in the chapter. We got this lady all settled and she's got more than enough. And then we see a woman, a rich woman, as a matter of fact, of Shunem. And the prophet is going by her one day and she notices him And she brings him in and she said, come and eat with us today. And so every time he came through town, she brought this man in to eat with her and her husband. Finally, one day she said to her husband, she said, I perceive that this is a man of God. I discern that this is a true man of God. So let us build him a little room. Let's build him his own place so that when he comes to town, he can come to his own place. He can have his own private place and he can have his place to rest with us. And her husband did it. That's a great preach right there. Her husband built for the prophet, built for the man, another man in his house. There is something working here. The power of God is working here. That this woman could say, let's build another man a room in our house. Let's build for the prophet of God a room in our house. The word of God, the plan of God is working in this moment. So they build it. And so he's relaxing one day and he's going, you know, to his servant. He says, you know, what is it with this woman? He said, she goes above board to take care of us. Send for her. I need to ask her something. So he sends for the woman. He says, so he said, look, he said, listen here. He said, you go way out for us. You do more than enough for us. As a matter of fact, you just go overboard for us. That's what that word means when he says to her that you take care of us. It literally means that she goes the extra mile to do it. She's not just hospitable, but she's going the extra mile. I mean, waiting on them hand and foot, taking care of all of their needs. He has need for nothing. He said, woman, why do you go through so much trouble? Do you want me to talk to the king for you? Do you want me to talk to the captain of the army for you? What is it? Why are you doing all of this? And she said, no, I'm good. He said, there's got to be something. She said, no, I'm fine where I am. I'm satisfied. And here's the thing. She had no need of money. She had no need for the king to do anything special for her. She was a rich woman, so she needed nothing. And that we could call in the natural, she didn't need natural goods. Oh, but there was something going on with her. I want you to know the Lord sees that thing that you're not even talking about. He sees that thing. I want to say that. He sees that thing that you're not talking about. As you're going through and serving him and working in the kingdom, doing what you know to do in the kingdom, God is watching you. He knows the labor of your love. He knows why you do what you do. And she said, I have no ulterior motive. This is just the thing to do. Take care of this man of God. And I'm not preaching about taking care of a man of God. Today I want to talk about what God is doing for you when you labor in the kingdom and do things according to his will and his way out of a pure heart, a heart that worships God. She's just somebody who worships God. Now watch this. So he says to his servant, he sends for the woman again. He said, go get that woman. No, he said, no, they talk first. I don't want to get out of order. He and the servant talked for her. He said, there must be something I can do for her. What is it? He said, well, her husband is an old man and she doesn't have any children. He said, so, you know, maybe that's the thing. So he said, go tell her to come here. So the woman came and the Bible says she stood in the door and she said, yes, sir. He said, woman, he said, this time, ooh, Jesus. He said, this time, about this season, next year, about this time, he said, you will have a son, not just a child. I want you to pay attention here. She wanted a child. She didn't care whether it was girl or boy. She just wanted a child. He said, God's going to give you a son. In about a year from now, you're going to have a son. And she said, hold on. Don't you play with me. Don't play. You know, it's just certain things. You don't want folks promising you if they're not going to do it. Especially if somebody that told you over and over and over they're going to do something and it doesn't happen. You get to the point where they said, look, don't play. And she's saying, don't play with me. Why does she say that? Because in her heart, there is a longing to be a mother. And she's not a mother. She wants to have a child. And God has seen that already. Do you really think Elisha came her way by accident? Do you really think that Elisha just happened to pass her way? No, of course not. God was putting himself in her way so that he could bless her with something that she needed. I'm telling you, God avails himself to us when we least expect it. My God, when you least expect it, God comes your way wanting to provide you with something that you long for, but you're no longer asking for it. She said, don't play with me. He said, woman, it's going to happen. Well, I want you to know, about that time, the next year, she had a son. Well, the scripture goes on to say that her son grew up, and he was out in the field with his dad one day, and he died. I want you to pay attention. God promised her a son. And so he's out in the field with his dad one day, and he has a stroke, and he dies in his mother's arms. She doesn't stop there. You know why? Because she has a promise from God that goes beyond the one child. God promised her a son. He promised her a seed that would bear seed, that would bear seed, that would bear seed. He promised her not just what she asked for, but he promised her beyond her asking. He promised her beyond her expectation. As a matter of fact, she wanted, but she wasn't even saying when God asked her to tell him. She wasn't even saying. So listen, this boy dies. She don't quit. She said, go hitch up the horses. We're going to see the man of God, because my promise and what God promised me is not yet fulfilled. Let me tell you something. Don't you cast off your confidence. Don't you throw the towel in, because it seemed like God started to move in a certain way in your life, and then all of a sudden it's like he's not doing that. No. It looks like the promise has not come to pass. No. Don't you let go. You hold on to, if God said to you, I'm going to multiply you, then you hold on to that. Even if you're down to the last penny, you got to know that somehow that situation is going to turn around, because God didn't promise you that you were going down. He promised you that you were going up. He didn't promise you that you were going to be diminished. He promised you that you were going to increase. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack, and I shall not be diminished. And so if it looks like you're being diminished, you need to say, no. This is not what God promised me. God didn't promise her a dead son. He promised her a son that would bring forth other sons. And so she went to the prophet. And the prophet came. And the end of the story is, he laid himself on the bait on the child's dead body, and the son got up, and her promise continued. And then in the next part of the chapter, can you say more than enough? Can you say more than enough? Can you say God is able to do far exceeding abundant above all that you can think or ask? Amen. Glory to God. Okay. I'm clapping like Crystal, because Crystal clapped when she excited about Jesus. And so does Ashley and Danielle. I'm clapping because I'm excited right now, since I can't get up and run around this room. And so then the next portion of scripture, there is a dearth. And I want you to know, they keep calling Elisha. They keep going to God. There is a dearth in the land. And so there's not much. And so they're lacking. And so the men of the prophets that are with Elijah, they all need to eat. And so they grow out and they gather in the field poisonous gourds, and they don't know it. And so they start eating, and they figure out this stuff is poison. And so what they do is they go to the prophet, and he throws some meal in it, and they're able to eat it. But then someone comes along who's got some food, not enough to feed 100 men, but he comes with some food. I mean, something is better than nothing, you think, all right? And so he comes with some food. And so the question is, well, I can't feed everybody with this. What am I going to do? And the prophet said, the Lord said, set it before them, and not only will it be enough, but there will be leftovers. Come on here, somebody. That was all enough to pay the bills and for her descendants to live off of. Not only a child, but a son who could bring forth more sons. Not just enough food for the 100, but food left over. Can you say God does far exceeding abundantly above all that we can think or ask? Listen, God wants to get this across to us today. I started to say you, but no, I need to hear this too. He wants to get this thing across to us today, that we put limits on him when we stop believing. We put limits on him when we stop trusting him in our minds. But he is able to go beyond those limits. He is able to go beyond your lack of speaking to him, your lack of crying out, because he sees the real desire in you. He sees the real longing in you. Oh my God. God is able to do far exceeding. I have to say it again. Abundantly above all that we can think or ask. So listen. Hebrews chapter 4 says, oh God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God says in verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Don't let go. Because in chapter 10, before that, he's told them, there's a word from the Lord, and that word is alive, earlier in the chapter. There's a word, and that word is alive. And if we will believe that thing that we profess concerning the Lord, then we will see him move in our midst. God's word is powerful. And so he says, let us hold fast. Let us cling to. Let us cling to is the best word I can hear right now. Refuse to be shaken loose from what God has spoken to you. Hold on as though your life depends on it, because it does. Your receiving the promise of God depends on you saying yes to his will, and God will go beyond your yes. He's bigger and he's more than what you can say. So listen, he says, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. God's goodness, God's divine favor, God's divine influence upon your life that brings multiplication to your life, that brings increase to your life, that grace that brings healing to your broken heart, that increase that will settle a mind that's gone. God will bring that mind, rein that mind in. They call you crazy. God will show that you have sound mind. Come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, the goodness of God, and find grace to help in the time of need. In the time of need, the widow woman came. In the time of her need, the rich woman waited on the Lord. In the time of need, the prophets of God are sitting hungry, and one man comes along. And with just a little bit, God fed the whole crew and gave them leftovers. Listen, doesn't matter that we got a dearth. Doesn't matter that we have chaos. None of that matters. Nothing is as great as the Lord in your life right now. Nothing is as powerful as the will of God for your life right now. God wants for us to know that he has a full and a complete life for all who will believe. You know, I was thinking this morning about those who hear and they don't believe. And I thought, oh God, what about them? He said, I send the word to all. Everybody has equal opportunity. And the word of God will create in your life an understanding of God that will shatter the unbelief. If you truly want the Lord, if you're truly seeking him, he will shatter that unbelief. And he will bring you to a place where you say, oh my God, he is God. And that he does do more than I can ever think or ask. And he does want me to have a full and a complete life. So no matter where you find yourself today, I don't know everybody's condition. I don't know everything that's going on. I just know that this morning, in the wee hours of the morning, at 3 a.m. this morning, God said to me, I'm more than enough. I'm more than you can ask for. I'm more than you can fathom. I'm more than you can even believe me for. Trust me, God, all you need is faith the size of a mustard seed. And God will take that thing and blossom and cause it to bloom until Everybody can eat off of your faith. People will be able to look at you and they will behold your God in your life. As a matter of fact, God says in Ephesians 3 that he is going to show the principalities and the powers of the air and the wicked spirits in high places his wisdom in through the church. God is going to use us to show the enemy of God how God is powerful beyond our shortcomings, beyond our failings, beyond whatever you've ever done in life. God is going to be greater than that in life, and his name is going to be glorified in your life. Listen, church. God is able to do far exceeding, abundantly above, all that we can think or ask. I mean, you sitting in a boat in a flood after a hurricane, and you singing praises to God, and you want a Coca-Cola. My goodness, you don't even need a Coca-Cola. But God will hear that prayer and he'll float that Coke past you. Because Solomon says that if God even thinks a thing, he'll do it for you. And God's thoughts toward us are good and they're good only. God wants the best for us. We don't know what that Coke in that water did for her. Seems like a simple thing. Seems like an unnecessary thing. Seems like somebody would have come by to rescue at that moment. But God knows what he's doing. I heard Regina say earlier, God doesn't do it our way. He does it his way. All the lady wanted was her bills paid. The one woman just wanted to have a child. She didn't know that God would give her a lineage. She didn't even know that he would wake her husband's dead body up and give her children. They're sitting and they just want a meal, the prophets of God. And God not only sends them a meal, but he sends them an abundant spread from a little, because God can take just a little bit. What can you bring to God today? I'm talking about your heart now. Can you bring to God a cry to him today? God, I need your help. Can you bring him your attention today? If we would just give him our attention. There's so many things that God wants to turn around. As I was preparing for this and coming this way today, I thought about God wants to turn so many situations around today. He wants so many people to understand in the midst of this chaotic world, in the midst of us having this dread pandemic going on, God wants to show himself strong in the midst of it. Can you hear what I'm saying? When God brought the children of Israel out, I mean, he brought them out with a man that didn't have any weapons, wasn't even smart enough to bring them out on his own. God did that thing. You know why? Because God wants to be glorified in our lives. God wants to be glorified in the church. One last thing. In Ezekiel chapter 36, God says to a gainsaying people, a people who were not even true to God, who were being unfaithful as God was concerned. I'm talking about his people. I'm not even talking about the world. I'm talking about people who name the name of the Lord. God said to those people, I am going to remove the reproach from you. I'm going to take away from you all of the things that came to destroy you. And I'm not going to do it because you've been good, because you have really been an embarrassment of someone who would be naming my name. You have not even been people who have been true to me. You have shamed my name. That's the word I'm looking for. He said, but I'm going to take you, those same people, and I am going to turn your life around in such a way that the heathen, people who don't even believe I'm God, people who wouldn't even begin to worship me, will be able to see that I am God. They are going to know that it wasn't you, but it was me working for you. It was me working on your behalf. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he prayed a long prayer. And part of his prayer was asking God if he would remember to bless his people, even when they would turn away from him. He said, will you remember them, Father, even when they're in their sins? Please don't ever let them go. And see, God had covenant that he would not break with those people. But he didn't have a covenant that was that would not allow things, troubles to come their way. But he did have a covenant that he was not going to break, and that in the end, they would come out blessed. He did have that covenant with them. And so Solomon prayed based on the promises of God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Prayed based on what God had promised, that God had sworn by himself that he would never leave them, that he would bless them. He prayed based on that. And the Bible says, and then after he prayed, the glory of the Lord filled the temple, so much so that none could stand. So God blessed that place that was built for him. Though he was too big for it, my God, he blessed it and said that he would visit his presence on that house. He didn't answer Solomon right away. And then Solomon is resting, and then God comes to him. He said, I heard your prayer, and here's my answer. He said, though my people would sin against me, though my people would turn on me, though I've given them the opportunity to come and worship me and to love me, he said, here's what's going to happen. If those people who name my name, if those people that my name is upon would turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. God says, you can't get into any amount of trouble and you can't walk away from me so much that I won't come and rescue you if you'll just turn back to me. There may be those of you today who have gone the other way, and maybe you know the truth, but you're not doing the truth because you don't understand the heart of God toward you. God is saying, come home, because I have more than what you're asking me for you. I have blessings enough that they'll run over and you'll be able to help other people. You'll be a blessing to other people. You may be someone today who says, I don't know how to pray. God will make you a prayer warrior. You may be somebody who has never had any peace, never had any rest. You can't ever sleep at night. God will give you so much peace. He'll wake you up till your mind will be so clear that things that you thought you were thinking all wrong, God will fix your mind today. Oh, I'm telling you, God wants to deliver you from those fearsome things that have separated you from him, from those things that have brought your soul down to a hard place and to a dry place. God wants to refurbish you, and God wants to restore you and raise you up again. He wants to do what you think is too late to be done. He wants to do that which is impossible to us. God said, nothing is too hard for me and nothing's impossible to me. Whew. I'm just telling you, God wants to bless your soul today. And we need to let him. We need to say yes to the Lord. And so, he's more than enough. Some people are running out of money right now. Listen to the Lord. He's got an answer for you. Some people need some impossible things done today, some miraculous things done, and you don't even pray about it anymore. You don't even speak about it anymore. God sees it, and he wants to do it. And you may have something, but it's not enough. God will give you wisdom to multiply it. Mm-hmm. He'll show you how he can make it work, because he's able to do what? Far exceeding, abundantly above all that you can think or ask. Say with me, God is more than enough. Father, I just thank you right now that somebody heard you today. Somebody, Lord God, if one heard, then I have discharged my duty. I have done what you said to do. Because I believe in my heart today, Lord God, you wanted somebody to know that you are more than enough. You wanted to wake up somebody's expectation today. Somebody who was no longer expecting you to move and be God in their lives because of deeds that they have done. I believe, Lord God, that you wanted them to hear today. Oh God, that you're able not only to move beyond their expectations, Lord God, in a small way, but in a big way, in a way that will continue even beyond their generation. Father God, you will take little and you will make more out of it than we could ever believe or even trust you for. I just believe, God, you're moving beyond our ability to trust you today. I believe, God, that you're stretching us today. You're saying, come on out here. Come on out here. Come on up here. Know that I'm with you. Know that I'm for you. For that sinner that might be hearing today, Father, that might be sitting and saying, God wouldn't do it for me because of all the things that I've done, cause that person to know today that there is no place in life that we can stoop that so low that you can't scoop us up from that place and set us on a rock. Hear the prayers of the hearts of the people today, Father. I pray that they would pray their own prayer. I don't know everyone who hears this today or will hear it on another day, but you do. I pray, Lord God, that your presence and your anointing would rest upon this word that you gave me today, that such deliverance and such peace would come out of it, Lord God, that we would not be able to receive all of the testimonies. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, move and be God for your people. I pray for that sinner today to give your heart and your life to Jesus. You have only in your heart to believe that he is the Christ and speak it from your mouth. That you believe that he is the Christ and you will be saved. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. It doesn't matter that you didn't believe that he was God before this moment or that he would be God to you before this moment. He will save you. You know, this morning in Sunday school, and I will be done here in a minute. This morning in Sunday school, someone asked the question about what about the person who is an atheist, the person who doesn't believe? Could that person be saved? And of course the answer was yes, if he turns his heart to the Lord. And I thought about a Christian writer, man who has great works that he has left behind many, many years later, who did not believe that the Lord is God. And he set out to disprove the Bible. He set out to disprove the scriptures. He set out to disprove that there was a living, invisible God. And the only thing he ended up with was believing that the Lord was God. And he, from that day forward, taught anybody who would come around him or would show anybody who disbelieved that God was the true and the living God. He taught and raised up many believers in the name of Jesus Christ. So yes, anybody, whosoever, God is wanting you today. God bless you and thank you so much for joining us. We love you, but more than that, God loves you.